night. Amen. Chapter 3 of Acts. Verse 1 said, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed helped Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." If the Lord had helped me here tonight just for a little while, and hopefully it'll be just a little while, I want you to look back at verse 2. The Bible said, "And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, whom they laid daily at the gate." That's what I want to preach on tonight. Laid daily at the gate. Daily. This man, this lame man that we read about, a few verses on over, we can find out that this man was above 40 years old. And the Bible said that he was carried there daily. During the course of his begging and asking for alms, he had received a lot of things in his life. A lot of things had been given to him. And just bear with me just for a few minutes. But the things that he received were never sufficient enough to deal with everything that he would have need of in life. So he came back daily. Every day of his life, there was another need that arose that he could not get away from. There's a lot to be said in this passage of Scripture, and there are some people that we ought to recognize that's not really mentioned, but they deserve some recognition. That it was those that carried him. The fact is that they were very faithful in that they acknowledged this man had a need. And I want to try to talk to us just a little bit tonight. I'm not really sure how I'm going to go with this, but I just feel like this is what's on my heart. And we'll get to the miracle of this in just a few minutes if the Lord will help me here. It's that daily being carried. It's that daily need. And I felt like today as I was studying about this, meditating on this passage of Scripture, we ourselves have those things that seem to daily come upon us. One Scripture said, I believe it's Paul writing, he said, "Beside those things that daily come upon me, the care of the churches." There is a daily struggle and a daily need. Even though last night was such a wonderful service and the Holy Ghost came through here and gave us a visitation, I found myself again today being carried to a gate in order to try to beg for something that I needed to just get through this day. You see, this man, it would have been a grand thing if somewhere in his life and his begging, if some rich man had come by and dropped enough coins in his bag or his sack or whatever it was, his pan that he was carrying, to get him through for the rest of his days. But I want to tell you, there came a day in his life when he was going to be carried for the last time. That what he was going to receive was going to be sufficient to get him through. And I know that it's something at times that we feel like we weary the people. And there's no doubt in my mind, Brother Bailey, that he felt like that he had wearied those those that had carried him. Can you imagine those people that every day of his life they got up early in the morning, went and got this man and carried him, and of all the places he wanted to be set right there at the entrance to the house of God, he didn't want anything much from the merchants. He wasn't interested in just the passerbys. He felt like, and I preached about this part before, that there was something more to be gotten from those that went to the house of the Lord. And I feel like tonight that there are those that are among us that get weary with themselves. They get tired of the continual begging and the continual coming forward. But can I tell you, there is a very high potential that you come long enough that the right person's going to come by that's got the right antidote to what it is that you're facing. I don't know why it is that there are some things that I struggle with just from time to time, but there are other things that seems like it is a daily grind. It's the same old thing every morning. I go through the same routine all day long, and sometimes I get so irritated when I have to get out and pray and say, Lord, I need you to help me with this again. I don't know, I feel like talking to us tonight just a little bit about that daily coming to the gate. That thing, it's not a once in a while type of thing, but it's that thing that every day of your life you have to deal with the same old issue and the same old problem until you feel like not only you wearying those that have been carrying you, but it's worrisome to yourself. But there is good news. There's been a change that's come in Jerusalem since this man started his journey up to the gate. You see, when he started this years ago, come on now, there was things weren't like they are right now. They were back in the day. There weren't many folks going around that had the power of God present in their life. But I want to tell you, after a major revival broke out and the Holy Ghost fell there in Jerusalem, amen, it left a very high possibility that things could be changed in our life. Sometimes we wonder, when are we ever going to move from going through this daily battle and this daily ritual and finally get the relief where we're not a burden to everybody and ourselves? Are you going to help me here tonight? I feel like there are those that have come up here and gone the prayer line, and at times the devil tells you you're just wearing them out and wasting oil. You're just going through the motions. It's not going to do you any good. But what this man had to face, there came a time in his life that everything got in right order, and it was the right day. And I'm glad that he didn't settle and say, today I'm not going anymore, but I'm going to go back again. I know I preached about some of these things a little bit during this revival. When you go this long, sometimes you get repetitious. Come on, you hear me now. But here was this man, daily carried through the same old routine, seeing the same old faces. But suddenly, coming up the street, there are two men. They knew this man. There's not a doubt in my mind. They'd seen him before. But that day they said, we're going to stop and have a little prayer meeting with the man there that's laying at the gate. I tell you, God wants to do some things for us to get us past that daily battle of life. Oh, God, help me here. There are those things. You know, you can stop and just be content with the carry. But this man was a beggar. He expected something. He was looking for something. Not always certain exactly what he would receive. Every day was a mystery, a surprise. There's not a doubt in my mind, Brother Jeff Smith, that when he went home in the evening and the carriers came back and carried him back to his house, that when he went through his sack of treasures, there's no telling some of the things that he found. Some of the things he got, without a doubt, were probably very valuable. But there were other things that he received. It's not a doubt in my mind were almost worthless. And so it seems like that's the way life is sometimes. That some days we get something that is very, very valuable and it seems like it gives us enough to get through. But there are others seemingly that are almost pranksters. They don't care to drop a few rocks down in our sack and see how I can chew on those later when I get back. Come on now. And so it is the people that we cross paths with. They themselves sometimes become a battle to us. We don't know what to expect, what people are going to give, amen, how they're going to respond to our begging. But I want to tell you, for all those that never take us serious, that think we're out just trying to make something for ourselves, God knows exactly what it is that we need up most. And He's right there, just when we need Him the worst, to come by and meet the needs in our life. I got to try to hurry and get down and preach a little bit of something to you here that may make sense here. But the Bible said they carried Him daily. I'm glad that these men and whoever they were loved Him and were faithful. But this man was going to be carried for the last time on this day. I doubt that when he got up that morning, Brother Pete, that he thought, after today, I'll never, ever, ever have to be carried again. I doubt he crossed his mind because he'd been carried so long. If he was going to receive that gift that would come on now, keep him from the temple gate, then he'd have probably already got it. A man of his age. But here we see, you're never too old. You've never laid too long. But what you can't finally get, what it is that you need, I want to tell you, don't ever give up on your miracle. It may take you a little longer than it has some, but hang in there and God will make a way for you. Hey, hear me tonight. There are some folks that are getting weary. Another day, I've been doing this a long time now, and I still not got my need met. I've been carried daily, and nothing's changed. I'm going to come back with a few quarters, a couple of nickels, and maybe a piece of bread, and nothing's going to change. But I want to tell you, there is a day when everything can change, because you're consistent. You keep coming back. You're not willing to stay at the house, even though you had a little extra yesterday. You realize that today is another day that something could change. Maybe today is the day. I tell you, it's worth getting up every morning and going out every day, walking to the same old gate, facing the same battle. If at some point in time I'm going to get what this man got, the ability to walk by myself, the ability to not depend on another. Can I tell you tonight, that is the importance of a revival, that we come together every service. We've been here night after night, and some of you said, I still ain't got what I need. But I want to tell you, you're in the right place at the right time, because God's got greater plans. Keep on coming back. This may be the day that you can get up from the gate. That's when your carriers arrive in the evening. They won't stop in the gate. They'll have to go to the church house to find where you are, because you are no longer laying. You're no longer laying, but you, because of the power of God, are up and leaping and walking around. But, Lord of God, help me here. But we can get so content with this that and I know there's been a lot of people preached on it, expecting to receive something. It rolled over and over in my mind today. His expectations of receiving something, he didn't really look for something like what he got, because he looked on them, expecting them to open their little purse, their place that they kept their money, and just drop a few coins in. His expectations were reasonable. One man said, and I read this the other day, or heard it somewhere, I can't remember where, I seem to remember a lot of things, but can't remember where I got them at. But he said that if you reach your goals easily, then you never set your goals high enough. Huh? And the rest of your life from the time you reach that goal is going to be a disappointment. Makes pretty good sense to me, I guess. I mean, we may have to write it down on paper and go through this again, but hear me now. This man really didn't expect a whole lot. And I almost feel like we're so far into revival that we may not be expecting much either. I'm just going to go back to the gate. I'm going to lay there. I'm going to get my quarters worth of blessing. Huh? And I'm going to head back to the house. Somebody's going to carry me back out. Tomorrow we're going to go through the same old ritual. But I don't know about you, but I get tired of routines. I mean, I am not one. I know that we have habits, but I don't like habits. I like to change them around. I like to turn things around just a little bit. I don't like going through the same old motions. It gets boring. Huh? It gets to the point that you can almost just close your eyes and know exactly what's going to happen. Here comes Mr. So-and-so. He's got a nickel in his hand. He's going to drop it in my sack and he's going to go to the temple and then he's going to come out. And we get to where we know. But there are two men that, but when he first started laying, they didn't attend this temple service. In fact, when he first started coming, it may have been years and years in the past. Peter was still out on a boat somewhere fishing. And John was out there fishing with him. They were slanderers. They were men that were of foul language. Men of the sea. But I want to tell you something has taken place. And since they've got converted, they believe much the same way we did when we got converted. When they got converted, they thought everybody ought to be converted. Come on, for some reason. Hey, y'all going to help me right here? I mean, don't you remember that? Whenever you first got saved, you thought everybody ought to get saved. I mean, right there on the spot, it kind of loses its glimmer. And so it is with Peter and John right here. If they were like us, you better get them when they first start, because they're going to cool off after a while and you won't even know if they're saved themselves or not. Are you going to help me here? But I'm glad that they were carried. This man was carried, and this day that they came, Peter and John went up to pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He asked these men for alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes on him, said, "Look on us. Stop everything you're doing. Don't look for the next guy coming. Don't hold me out of sight. Come on, without eyesight. I want you to look at me, because what I'm going to give you, come on, you ain't going to put it in a sack. You ain't going to drop it in a bucket. You ain't going to carry it home tonight. It's going to be something unlike anything you've ever received. I wonder tonight, with that kind of expectation, how did we enter this service tonight when the Lord saying, look on me. I got something to give you. And we turn and we're looking for the next one in line. Or we're waiting on somebody else. When it's you that God is wanting to bless. It's you that God is wanting to give the miracle to. But all the while, you're looking on down the line to who else is coming up the street. What else is going to happen? We can get so carried away looking in the future that we forget about what's going on in the present. You see, standing in front of him was Peter and John. There's no sense in worrying about who might be coming, who might be working their way up here, who's next in line. I tell you what you need to worry about is the blessing that's right in front of you right now. Don't get so sidetracked worrying about later on in the week or the weekend or what's going to happen that you pass up what God is trying to give you right now in the process. Listen, if this man doesn't look on Peter and John, he does not walk.
Think about it. Come on.
And I'm trying to tell somebody here tonight that you've got so accustomed to looking on ahead that you're missing what's happening right in front of you. Hey, look at me. I mean, My dad used to when I was a kid. I was shifty eyed, especially when I was in trouble. I didn't want to look at him. Because if I looked at him, he could tell when I was trying to stretch the truth and tell a lie, huh? I mean, stretch the truth is really telling a lie, huh? I mean, he'd say, "Look at me. I don't want to look at you. I want to be able to tell you a story and look over in the other corner." You know, there are people in church, and I've already found people here since I've been here that they won't hardly shake your hands unless you're looking at them in the eyes. And it don't bother me anymore. I ain't got no lies to tell. Come on now. Have you? Come on now. Hey, remember he said, "Look at me. Come on now, don't be looking over there. Look at me. Come on." And I feel like in this revival, the Lord's trying to tell some folks, you need to look at me, but you're busy looking. You're looking at Brother Junior. You're looking at Brother Bailey. You're looking at who might be coming in the door. Ain't amazing. Every time the door rattles, everybody turns around and looks. The only advantage the folks on the pulpit's got is they're already looking that direction. I mean, we can be in the middle of almost a shout and the doorknob turning. I mean, we snap from being spiritual to as carnal quicker than... Somebody else is coming in. Oh, wonder what they're doing tonight. Come on now, y'all gonna help me right here. Is this doing any good right here? I really don't know if it is or not. But I feel like we need to get our eyes on Him. We're standing back looking at each other. Watching each other. This one's waiting on that, and that's waiting on the next one. Come on now, and I know you've, I've heard it so many times in this revival. I've done got used to hearing. Y'all think this is great preaching, and really it's not. Hey, you go back and listen to the tapes many times and you might convince yourself it's not great preaching, but I can tell you that there is one here that's much greater than the preacher. He's much greater than the pastor. It is the Lord, and He's saying, "Look on me, look at me." And you see at that point in time, stop everything you're doing and look with eyes of expectation, as though something that's fixing to change in your life. The only difference between this man and us is we've already had the experience of a life-changing miracle. So if anybody ought to have high expectations and looking for another one, it ought to be us.
Yeah.
But are we? What are we looking for tonight? I turned on the radio this evening, heard the weather forecast, and they said Saturday might be rain, might be snow. They didn't know. And I figured out, ain't no use in worrying about Saturday. This is just Thursday. Let's get through Thursday before we start worrying about Friday and Saturday. I really don't know why I'm telling you this tonight, but I'm afraid that in the course of this revival and being carried daily, that we've lowered our expectations till we really just don't look for a whole lot. We've kicked her into cruise control and laid back, and we just let everything take care of itself. Come on now. Is that what we're doing? I don't expect anybody to say yes. I really don't. But it is. Come on now. God's wanting to give us something right here. And I know we can sit and we can contemplate why this ain't happened or that ain't happened and what's going on here and what's going on over there. But really, that ain't got nothing to do with what's going on in this service tonight. God's wanting to do some greater things right here among us. And I mean, this man probably had no idea that he was going to be carried to the gate and he'd walk back home when the day was over with. Can you imagine the look in the face of those carriers that had been there for years and carried him? And maybe somewhere in their life they had changed it, and another generation had come on. When they come and they approach the gate and they're expecting to see, oh, Joe sitting down there by the gate with a sack of coins and whatever he's got right there. And they get up there and Joe ain't sitting there. But there's a mob right there at the front of the temple door. And oh, wait a minute here. Where'd Joe go? What happened to him? Joe? I see one of the men, somebody standing out on the street that's just left. Said, I tell you where he, when he went up there, he's up there with that preacher's up there. What are they doing up there? How did he get up there? Did they carry him up there? No. Last time I saw him, he was jumping up and down. And he was, wait a minute. That can't be Joe. Joe don't act that way. Come on, I know I'm adding a name. Don't fall out with me here. I mean, we almost get to the point that not only is his expectations lowered, but ours are too. We've seen some folks in the same shape so long, we don't really think they're ever going to change either. He can't be up there. How did he get there? What happened in his life? Well, he would just say they came by. He shook hands, looked at me like he's shaking hands. But there was a secret formula of power in that handshake. It just looked like a handshake. And the next thing I know, old Joe was up and jumping up and down and leaping. Wait a minute here. You don't understand. He's over 40 years old. He ain't never walked. He's been that way all of his life. And you know, if it takes a 10 or 12 pound baby up until they're a year, and they get up 15 pounds, takes them a year or 2 years to get to walking, how long would it take a 40 year old man to finally work up enough muscle to get to walking? I tell you, you don't have to go through rehab. You don't have to send them up there and go through physical therapy and work out on this and that or another. When the Lord gets in the arrangements that had never been done, suddenly starts getting done. All because the Lord is there. And listen, what we've got to do, there are some things that are important. The fact that He came every day, that's first of importance. And that's what you got to do. Keep on coming back. Keep on going. Do it over and over again. And secondly, obey the word of the man of God. When he says, look on us, come on now, then go ahead and look. And when he says, get up, and everything is going to be all right. Oh, glory to God. Get up. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Well, we're here again tonight. And it may be, I feel like we're in high gear. I ain't slowed down a bit. Hallelujah. From day one, I'm as excited as I was when I got here back on December 31st. I got here last year. And I'm still here this year. Huh? Come on now. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah for me. Huh? And I feel like the Lord has looked down at some folks tonight. He's come by with your little sack. You've got you. You know what you come here expecting. I want a couple more crumbs of preaching. I want you to throw me a couple of biscuits. Come on now, this and that. Come on, but I want to tell you, you're going to get more than a piece of bread. You're going to get more than a gold nugget. There's going to be more than a couple of mice in the bottom of your sack when you get done with this service. If you'll just do what God has told you to do. Listen, I've tried to stress it to you several times during this revival. Obey God. I'm telling you, just obey God. Don't sit and wait on me and worry about getting in my way. Get up and just do it. If God wants you to run, run. If He wants you to roll in the floor, roll. But whatever you do, Brother Johnny, it didn't bother me a bit. You getting up and testifying. I'm telling you, more folks ought to do it. I like a
testimony that talks about praise and glory and hallelujah. I'm telling you, it has a way of getting down under my skin and making me want to shout. Is there anybody here tonight? What you come looking for? Listen, we need more than a morsel. We need a miracle. We need more than just a coin. Come on now, we need Christ. We need more than just something to give us another lunch. What we need is a loosing. What we need is a miracle. What we need is the power of God to be demonstrated down in our lives. Right here tonight, God is trying to do some things among us, but we've got to be looking.
Hello, Sister Valerie. And the victory flag. Well, I've seen her do that a bunch of times. But one of these times, come on now, Peter and John's going to walk up and she's going to come out with really what she went for when she grabbed that victory flag. She's really going to get the victory. Come on now. I'm telling you, we don't need a sack lunch and be satisfied with that. When God has got the table spread with a miracle that you and I can have that will change our life from this day forward. Don't step back and say, I ain't going to do it. God ain't never done it. He can't do it now. I'm telling you, he can. If he can arrive 4 days late to the tomb of Lazarus, say, roll away the stone and tell him to get out, then he's just in time to move in your situation and answer your prayer. Go ahead. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Do you want it? My wife's getting ready to come. I'm quitting. But tonight, you've been sitting as folks have been filing by. You felt a few goosebumps and a tingle and a jingle from that has got dropped in your bucket. Yeah, you felt good about what you've been getting off of everybody else's blessing. But it's about time you got one yourself and gave something back to us. You see, one of the greatest things there that they couldn't, if you read on down, chapter 3 and chapter 4, when Peter and John finally gets arrested, and they're standing in there and they said, now wait a minute, men, you know, we've got a problem here. A notable miracle has been performed. There is no denying. Oh, Joe was lame, but he's up leaping as something happened. We've got to be careful here how we handle this. Oh, we can't just come out and say this ain't right because there's a miracle that took place. I'm telling you, that was one of the staples that got the church rolling in the right direction. Can I tell you right here tonight, God to be ready to give us another miracle to get this thing rolling again just the way that we need it to. Somebody that hasn't moved in a mighty long time, maybe on the verge of jumping up and down, running around the building and breaking loose from the ordinary. I'm telling you, there is a danger in just becoming ordinary when God wants us to be something extraordinary. That is God's will. Let's just look at Him.
My wife's playing. I sense you're feeling so good tonight. Thought I'd stand here like everybody else was. What's he going to do next? And I'm wondering what you're going to do next. Well, do something. I'm tired of standing here. Come on now. Somebody, I feel sure that the Lord's told you to come and take another look. Your expectations have become dim in the face of the daily grind of life. That what you have had to put up with every day. Now, when you used to believe God was going to move in it, now you don't believe it's going to happen anymore. You just said, I'm going to accept this. This is the way it's going to be. But God says, it's not either. Go ahead. Ask the Lord one more time. My wife, please. Everybody stand all over the building if you will. I want us to come tonight. Let's gather up around this altar. Pour our hearts out. I don't want to weary you with long preaching. I want us to come and get a hold of something in our life. I feel like the Lord's telling some folks it's time to rise. It's time to get up. You need to start doing your walking yourself. God wants to give you a miracle. Let's come. Let's come. Let's come. Come on, somebody else. Let's all gather around here. Let's come find a place to pray. Let's seek the Lord. You know what you need in your life. You need a miracle. You ain't been walking. You've been depending on somebody else. But tonight, you can get your independence and your own individual blessing from the Lord. Let's come and pray a while. Let's come and seek.